Hey everyone, welcome back. We watched stuff number 11, Shahid and Jeremy, like usual. What's going on, my friend?
Nothing much. Enjoying the last day of this stupid night shift before I go back to normal people life. So, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I guess. You're just going to find normal people life the same boring crap you were doing before. Just in the daytime.
I just want normal people sleep, so... But hearing my wife complain about how my neck is changing is hilarious.
How your neck is changing?
I've been doing squats like 3 times a week now. Mm-hmm. So the my neck is getting darker and more callous, like I'm a damn lizard. And she saw it. She was like, you need to cut that out or use a pad or do something. I'm like, look, it's the gym wife, baby. Get over it.
Wow. I didn't know that. I don't do squats because my knee can't handle it. Yeah. So... Jesus, I didn't know it did something like that. I'd stop doing that immediately.
I didn't know either. I was just taking a shower, and I felt my... It seemed like a damn sci-fi movie. I felt the back of my neck, and it just felt rough. And then my wife's looking in the mirror. She's like, yeah, it's turning black, and it feels like you turn into a damn snake. I'm like,
eh. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what happened. You lift, you squat 300 pounds 3 times a week, so...
Yuck. I wouldn't do that then.
Like I say, occupational hazard.
Yeah, you gotta look rough and tumble working the pharmaceutical game. So you never know when a Tyson Tomko's walking in the old pharmacy there. So I understand that one actually. Oh, well, we're not here to talk about weightlifting. We're actually gonna talk about comic books and comic show this time. But I mean, I guess we could go back to the Danny Ferry stuff, but you know.
Well, it's a quick aside to the comic books because it's kind of related to one of them. I went to the movies this weekend and I saw No Good Deed, another surprising number one movie because people still find it hard to believe that black people will go to the movies. So, yeah, it was 84 minutes. That was the first thing that called me, like, it was not a long movie. They didn't waste time. I would call it progress in 2014 that you see Idris Elba tormenting people of all colors, and it's not, like, you know, out of the ordinary. Like, he was rough, to put it mildly. When a PG-13 movie that should have been an R movie, and it felt like an R movie, but it was definitely silly. It had plot holes the size of, you know, an ocean, but it was enjoyable. And it's good, you know. That's it. All I say, you know, like I said, he's there tormenting people. Kind of forget that he used to be Stringer Bell. Like he hit a chick. You saw Talladega Nights, right?
Yes.
You remember Ricky Bobby's wife?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing him hit her in the face with a shovel because she asked him too many questions. Yeah, that kind of like raised the eyebrows a little bit.
Yeah, because it's like that's every man's dream. It's like, ugh, this mouthy bitch won't shut up.
Yeah, all that. I know this story you're telling me is full of crap, and I know something going on. Because if she was having basically a quick aside, since you probably won't see the movie.
Nope.
So perfect. It's basically he's playing this old narcissistic. Woman beater that went to jail. Huh, perfect timing. Woman beater that went to jail for manslaughter in a separate case, you know. So he did 5 years of his parole hearing. They don't let him out because they know he killed 5 women, but couldn't prove it. So he escapes, of course, because they had this man that apparently killed 5 women in a van with 60-year-old security guards. So, of course, that doesn't go out well. He escapes, hunts down his ex, murders her. Like, I don't know if he broke her neck first and then just kept hitting her, or did he knock her down and hit her with a lamp, but she died. So
okay.
Then he goes on away. I don't know if they don't play it like he's escaping where he's going. He gets the car accident. He has the Taraji Henson's house, and then that's where the whole tormenting her and her friend goes to town. I do like, it's one thing it's a cultural difference. Like, if you put certain people in movies, she's playing the whole, you know, she used to be a DA that went after, you know, women killers, and then she became a stay-at-home mom. So she's playing the whole, you know, slightly naive woman, why you letting a strange man in the house because the husband's not there. And then, of course, they play that old. But then it's a scene where, you know, he makes her get in a shower and she's naked, but you don't see anything. And she's
All right, you can stop. Who cares?
No, but and then, of course, you see the thing is, you know, is he going to sexually molest her? And he's like, you know, like, don't flatter yourself, put some clothes on. As soon as that part happens, it's like a switch turn. Like, she turns into from Benjamin Button, nice Taraji Henson, to person of interest, you know, ghetto version attitude Taraji Henson. Like, who the hell are you to turn me down? You SOB. If you're going to do something, just do it and stop wasting my, like, a switch this turn. And she came straight out the projects. It was just hilarious. Like, you. So it was an enjoyable movie, and I wasn't surprised it was number one because, you know, nothing
came out.
Nothing came out, and they're like, Idris Elba's known. He's not like a superstar, but he's a star. Like, people know who he is.
I don't think it had anything to do with being surprised black people go to the movies. I think it just has everything to do with that movie didn't look very good. Like, it didn't look original at all.
You know why it's original? Because it's not an original movie. Normally, it's an original movie because of who was in the movie. Because it's a two black leads. And usually, you don't see movies like that where the two leads, like that type of movies usually would be like Dylan McDermott. And if it was like Jessica Chastain and Dylan McDermott, it wouldn't stand. It would have been, it's a Lifetime movie on TV. So it'd be one of those. But, since it was Idris Elba, Taraji Henson, it's kind of, I didn't know they get to tell those type of stories with those people type thing. Like, that doesn't happen. So that's what stood out to people, I think.
Yeah, I mean, wide release, no, I guess not. I'm trying to think of another movie, but no, I mean, I'm drawing a blank.
Exactly.
I'm talking wide release, too. I'm sure there's probably some small stuff we haven't seen.
Because it's like Sleeping with the Enemy. I mean, That story's been told before, so it's new, but usually it's told with people that look a certain way. You don't see that with, like, minority leads, or you'll see one and the other person will be regular old Joe Blow. You don't see two, so that's the main reason it stood out. I guess that's what they call progress in Hollywood.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'd be curious to see who went and saw it. If it was like a majority of black women that went to see it just for him.
Well,
you know, like demographics wise, like, and obviously not thinking that he's going to be like the total clown that he described him to be.
Well, he was dangerous. It was kind of, yeah. That's the thing that, of course, he has a following. And let me see, my demographic was mostly female. It was black, Latin, and there's some whites in there. That's how I usually go to the movies. Like, yeah, because it's Texas, but you know, but white women like think Idris Elba is attractive too. I've heard that at work, so that's not surprising. He's a definite sex symbol, even if he's whether he's using his British accent or not. Yeah, and he still has that whole, you know, Stringer Bell following from The Wire, which you still have not watched.
No.
I think I know what the buy-in of the wedding is. So.
Well, I have heard the rumblings that HBO now, I mean, kind of not to shift away from it, but since you brought that up, HBO now is actually considering going to a standalone pay service like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu. So you won't have to have a subscription through your cable provider. That's a big step for them.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't taken that step before. It would cut out the middleman. Because I know a lot of people who get cable and a lot of times they say, I just want to get cable to watch Game of Thrones and such, and maybe, you know, nothing else. So they're one of the few channels that could kind of separate themselves and be fine. You know, it's not a lot that can do that. They can do that.
Well, okay. They'd be fine, I suppose, but what about these big budget shows? I don't think that many people would sign up. Like, who knows? I don't know what they're off the cuff. I don't know, like, contractual situations, anything like that. Like, and that's why I guess it's not just appearing out of the blue. You have to do these sort of preliminary investigation, you know, for financials and that.
I'm sure they looked at it and probably thought it'd be a profit because I know they charge more. Like, if you buy premium channels and it's not together, they charge more than almost everybody else. Like, mm-hmm. by themselves, and they always brag about how many viewers they get from paid and like how many viewers they get that's pirated. Like people, you know, I want to watch HBO, but I don't want to get cable. Like I've heard plenty of people say, if I could get HBO Go and I didn't, I know people who asked me for my HBO Go password. They would pay for HBO Go if that's all they wanted to get and they didn't have to get cable. So I don't think it's kind of like a WWE thing where they're overestimating their values. I'm sure they figure out we could get enough people where we can make money and not have to split it with the cable companies. You know
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
I think well, kind of like the WWE Network. Like, I don't watch that all the time. I'll watch it for the pay-per-views, and currently I'm watching that Monday Night Wars series. But outside of that, I mean, I'm not. I'll dive in every once in a while, but I won't. I don't like. It's not a go-to sort of option. But they're still getting my like $9.99 a month or whatever the hell it is. I mean, I did the 6 month commitment, which I don't even know when that runs out. But you know, I think HBO would have the same thing. Like even when I had HBO Go, I never went back and watched like Boardwalk Empire or what are some other Girls? Is that what it's called? Yeah, I've never watched that. I never felt the gumption to just watch those other shows. All I got HBO for was Eastbound and Down. That's over with, and Game of Thrones. So as soon as Game of Thrones was over this season, I was on the phone immediately saying, "Yep, take it off." You know, but I think if they had a nine, like if it's $10 or $8.99, whatever Netflix is, if they had a service like that, I'd probably get that and keep it around. Which isn't that cable's worst nightmare though, because AMC could start doing the same thing, or FX, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, they're trying to. They even, and I don't have any sympathy for the cable companies because for all the talk saying, oh, we can't compete like that, they're still making money hand over fist. So, but that's their biggest worry. Like, if ESPN or AMC, you know, or like, because HBO, like HBO and Cinemax, they're the same company. So they can say, you know what, you can get HBO and Cinemax for $9.99 a month. And if you want to watch, you know, The Nick, or Strike Back, or Game of Thrones, or even if you want to watch Veep or something like that, or Girls, you can do like Netflix and watch them when you want. Because a lot of time, like you think about all the channels you have, how many of them do you watch? So most companies couldn't get away with the whole, you know, like I like El Rey. I wouldn't pay extra just to see El Rey by itself. If something on, I want to see it, I'll see. HBO, I would definitely do that because I like their programming. And it's only $10, so it's like Netflix, I might use two or three times a month, but knowing I always can use it makes it worth the money, like a network.
So you said something that it jarred my memory that you mentioned El Rey in there, and I agree with you. I remember reading, and I'm yeah, it's him because I remember bitching to Kevin about this. I was reading prowrestling.net, and they were talking about the new Lucha series that's going to be on there. Was it AAA America that's coming up? And Chris Shore said that it was going to be on the El Rey Network, which is the BET for Latinos. I lost my shit on that one. I have to be full disclosure, I don't watch BET, but it's called Black Entertainment Television. All right, so it's pretty much not my demographic. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's some funny stuff on there. I just haven't watched.
It's not your demographic, so we understand.
Okay, all right, cool.
I mean,
But I watched El Rey. It's not strictly for Latinos. It's not strictly for black people. It's not strictly for white people. It's just a bunch of cool shit on a station.
That's as like I don't watch BET too much anymore, but I used to watch BET, and I know what comes on BET. That's an ass backwards comparison. El Rey is kind of like if you like, you know, old school grindhouse. If you like kung fu movies, you like certain genre. It's a genre channel basically. Like certain things, you'll like El Rey. He said that because Robert Rodriguez owns El Rey.
That's exactly what I was going to
That's
say.
what I do. So
So,
that's all it
but
was.
that just seemed incredibly, well, first stupid, uninformed, like I almost said illiterate, but with everything that goes on, and to just to make, like, you know, and ProWrestling.net's kind of a major site, I suppose. Yeah. I'm guessing it is, because a lot of people talk about it. But it just seemed very ill-timed, ill-fated, or ill-themed, I guess. So I don't take that guy seriously anyways, which was kind of Kevin's point. Like, we goof on this guy all the time. To where he writes stuff about TNA. And in the top of the article it says, TNA can't do anything correctly. I'm not surprised. And then later on in a review he'll say, I expect better from TNA. Well, which is it? So it's like, it's not even like, this isn't like a false bringing this up. I was just so perplexed and annoyed by how bad that was. Because it's Robert Rodriguez's station. Oh, it's going to Mexicans then. It'd be like a Jamie Foxx making a station and going, oh, it's only going for African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. If you're a smart businessman nowadays, you integrate everything. It's just on a business side, you try and get as much as you can out of an entire audience. It's ridiculous. But anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about. So we're actually out here to talk about the upcoming comics season, I guess.
The comics.
Yeah, it's a very strange, I want to say exciting time for comics fans.
Well, it depends on what comic fan you are. So for me, it's an exciting and new time for a curmudgeon like you. You know, it's like, I hear that growl already.
Well, let's start with the obvious one. Arrow starts on October 8th. I'm really hyped up about for this season, but I'm trying to downplay it because they've been on such a high point. It's got to fall down a little bit. So I want to lower that expectation just a bit so that, you know, even if it's like really good, it's still – well, still came up a little bit short of my expectations. You know, one of those sort of things. What are you expecting out of this season? Because they left you with a lot.
I think they're going to continue the path they start with season two, like they're embracing their comic roots. It's kind of like season one was almost kind of, we're going to make it dark Knight-ish and use the Green Arrow, like, you know. It's a comic book story, but we don't want to make it too much of a comic book story. More like a dark drama with some CW romance. We don't know what to expect. It became a success, and like people start watching. Season two is kind of like, okay, people watching it, let's just dive in so we can add more stuff from the comics and everything. Not ham-handedly, but it's kind of like embracing their roots. And almost like now, even if it fit the story, you know, he went from a vigilante to a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So with season three and the plus they add the Flash and they're going to have a crossover show with that, I think it's going to continue just becoming a superhero TV show and just making a whole TV universe. And I think it's funny, and I would have never thought I would ever hear this conversation. Like, they had an interview with Liam Neeson and they were asking him, like, you know, if you were asked to play Ra's al Ghul for season three on Arrow, would you do it? And he was like, I wouldn't have a problem, like, no. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. Of course it wouldn't happen because that's, you know, like he's done, I know he's reprised roles, movie roles, like on shows. I know on Clone Wars he did the voice when they had the cartoon show. But as much as that would be just awesome, I couldn't picture him being on a CW show playing that role. But the fact that somebody had that conversation in 2014 just shows how far that show has gone.
Especially for the CW of all things. We're not talking NBC or AMC or Fox or anything like that. We're talking the CW.
Yeah, like that's, you know, the only time when did I ever watch that show, like that network? I used to watch it with my wife. I know she watched that. What was that show with Blake Lively? I can't think of it.
I have no idea.
Gossip Girl. She used to watch it there. I watched Nikita a few times. Other than that, I never watched that network at all. So when I heard Arrow was on there, I know he used to tell me, oh, you need to watch this show. I'm like, it's the CW. That is not my demographic.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep hearing you tell, and then I kept hearing reviews like, you know, this is a good show. Not a good show for CW, like a good show, period. So I watched it And I got caught into it. And it's amazing, you know, I think the CW's the Vampire Diaries and Gossip Girl like that. And Arrow's their top-rated show.
What's funny about Arrow, though, see the first season, to say what you were bringing up, they were trying to like very, very dramatically force this romance or force this like these fake relationships, and they finally started getting away from it near the end of the season, almost as if it was like, all right, well, all we got to do is just, you know, pull back a little bit. And that's when the superhero stuff started ramping up a little bit, but still in a fairly, you know, a fairly viable, not viable, it's the wrong word, but in a fairly realistic way. Like nothing seemed too forced in it. Like if he got shot, they covered up with a hospital, but then since he was who he was, you know, no information would leak out, that sort of thing. And they got away from it, and then season two, they just put Laurel to the side, thank God, because there was no reason for that. But yeah, it became a good show, and then in season two, it became a really good show. It's ridiculous, and
You know the biggest change, you know the main one of the main reasons was that because of who the main villain was, that whole Mr. Man Bennett is awesome. Like I remember him from Spartacus, and he was awesome in that show. It was kind of like they gave characters that you cared about, they gave them time, they just let them breathe. So and character kind of like and about they kind of pushed him to a side. Like you didn't see Thea too much. You know, you didn't see Laurel. She's just popping her pills, but it wasn't like, you know, what's Laurel want to do? It's kind of, they were around the story, but if you want to see, what I'd rather see, Black Canary or Laurel talking about, oh, I'm sad because my boyfriend died, my other boyfriend left me, and he popped this Oxycontin.
Yeah, to me, that's like the CW stuff. Like they didn't know what to do with her, so it was just, all right, guys, here we'll just keep on doing this. And it's like, okay, well, it just didn't really work that well, but okay. And then they kind of dropped it, and I thought that her all of a sudden non-reliance on drugs and alcohol just came out of the blue.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I
And it
know.
does not work that way. The only thing I am a little skittish about this upcoming season, I never once last season saw the attraction between Ollie and Felicity. I never, I they she would do the puppy dog eyes, but he wouldn't.
I'll say this. Maybe it's because I watch those type of shows more, and they didn't push it like too much, but it was definitely there. The problem was a two-part problem. One, Ollie was just smashing everything in heels. Like, you know, he was with Laurel at first, and then you see the flashbacks out, he was with Shadow, then he was with Sarah. And it's like, okay, now if he was Sarah, but why are you gonna mess with Felicity? And then they was trying to see this whole, well, maybe she gonna be with the, you know, she got Google Eyes with the Flash. But it was always an undercurrent there. Like she kind of looked at him with the Google Eyes, and he was brushing it off, but he had, you know, admiration and respect and everything. Like you could tell he cared about her, but he was busy, you know, caring about other things.
Well,
To put it mildly.
you could tell he cared about her, but not like that. I always saw that. I always saw him looking at her like,
You
you know,
want
I'm
to
dragging her into this. And then, but she also had that whole thing with Barry Allen for the for those two episodes, and you kind of got a hint of like jealousy. But then he's plowing Sarah all the time.
Yeah, he got to get everybody. He like Batman.
Well, and but in that respect, I like that part that they kept that part of his of the Oliver Queen character. Even though like he's banging out Sarah all the time, that he's got an eye on somebody else and he's got an eye on this one over here. Because I think didn't he sleep? He didn't sleep with Laurel this season. No, it was the end of season one. That's right. So I don't know if they just figured, all right, we got to get Sarah out of here, so we're gonna throw this all of a sudden. Like throw this Felicity thing out there. It was very, very confusing to me, and I didn't think it was necessary either. I think Sarah could have just left, and they could have built us up, built up the drama of it, but without getting into the will there, won't they sort of thing.
I mean, enough people asked about it, you know, to kind of like, I'm not surprised they're going there. And I think a big part of it is like she, you know, dresses down most of the part. Like, I remember that one episode, I think it was season one, when they were at the casino and she cleaned herself up. I was like, wow. Like,
yeah, there was like a party or something. Yeah.
Who's this? Like, it's not the same girl, is it?
Well, it's funny because not too long after that, she became a regular. She became a series regular.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I'm a little trepidatious about that. But I like what they're doing. And it's funny that you mentioned Ra's al Ghul, because they just announced Captain Boomerang is going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also during the crossover episode with the Flash. So I don't have a problem if they take Boomerang and put him over on the Flash, because that's where he belongs. But the reason I bring this up, though, is they – let me see. I can't remember. Hang on 1 second. Okay, so Captain Boomerang is going to be played by Nick Tarabi. Oh, okay. And – You'll know him from Spartacus.
One of the best villains ever, Spartacus. Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. He's, what'd you say? He was Lebanese, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, the guy playing Ra's al Ghul is not Liam Neeson. His name is Matthew Nabel.
That name rings a bell.
He was in the latest Riddick movie.
Yeah, I remember him.
Okay, so for those who don't know, Captain Boomerang is Australian. He's not Lebanese. Ra's al Ghul, I figured was Middle Eastern, I'm guessing.
I thought that was always assumed that he was from a ambiguous Middle Eastern Arab country. You know?
Yeah, I think it's Narapembur or something like that. That's some made-up name. And so the guy playing the Australian guy is Lebanese, and the guy playing Ra's al Ghul from the Middle East is Australian.
Look, if they, I know, like,
I know. What,
yeah,
I know what you're gonna say, but it's like, really, guys?
I mean, if they fit the role, I'm like, if they fit the role, they fit the role. But just the way you put it that way is just hilarious. Like, you know, maybe you guys missed your casting call.
Yeah, or they sent the wrong press release out. One of the two. But yeah, so what was his name? Asher? No, what the hell was his name?
That was his name.
Okay, it was Asher. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Oh, wow, he looks way different. All right, you know what? I take that back. He is supposed to have a little bit of red hair, but that's all right. It doesn't really matter. Huh. It's funny seeing these, like, Spartacus and 300 guys not all jacked up on HGH or whatever, because they looked like normal people again. So... But yeah, he's got some pretty distinct facial features, so I think it'll work. They seem to know what they're doing with these characters. So
I remember him on Spartacus. He was awesome, and that's saying a lot because that cast had a lot. You can tell based on who's been getting jobs since that show's been off.
Mm-hmm.
That show had an awesome cast, like a real awesome cast. Like, I didn't even realize until I saw a movie, the last Die Hard movie. That John McClane's son, he was on Spartacus. And I was like, this name sounds familiar, but...
So that's where he was from.
Jai Courtney. But he had, like, poofy blonde hair. He looked completely different. I'm like, who is this, like... I'm like, when was he on Spartacus? And then I saw the name, and then I went to Spartacus and Googled it, and I'm like, wait, that guy had poofy blonde hair, was about 30 pounds bigger, and looked... like an age difference, like 5 years. So yeah, the power, you know, power working out and the hair color. No, the main thing I'm worried about with Arrow is just getting too, like, pushing away main characters because the universe gets too big. Like, and I think it happened a little bit season 2, and I'm glad they're talking about rectifying season three. Like, Diggle kind of got pushed to the sideline too many episodes because there was all this other stuff going on. So, because he was one of my favorite, you know, reasons I watched. I got an Arrow season one, like, oh, seeing a black guy that's a, you know, partner, that's not like a doofus. He's not comic relief. He's actually competent, you know, and you don't see that much. And then to find out he wasn't even part of the comic originally, it's like, you know, that was a good move. So,
yeah. And it's a different discussion, but it's one of the rare occurrences where a new character is created that's actually taken off. Because it was done. All right, and I, to be honest, when they added Diggle to the Arrow, the season one, I was like, "Well, there's your token black guy on the show." I mean, that's just it screamed that from the beginning, because he didn't exist. It just seemed and like Arrow for the most part, Green Arrow for the most part, didn't have a sidekick. It was Black Canary. I'm sorry, not a sidekick, but like a detail or a team. That's a newer invention. But then as the series went on and, you know, they didn't, just like you said, they didn't build him to be like the bumbling butler or, you know, the security guy that always got outwitted. They got rid of that, I think, in episode 3 or 4, where he just blatantly said, he's like, I know what you're doing. He's like, I'm not stupid. I was in like the special forces and all this. He's like, I know you're going out at night and you're ditching me. He's like, and I think it was something like, I'll find you. I'll find out what you're doing. And he did. And it was really refreshing. And then from there, they gave him a suitable, not suitable, but a real backstory that made him human. Where most of these, and comic books are a gigantic problem with this. They go, all right, here's a new character. They're gay. Go. So? There's nothing to do with anything.
What else?
Yeah, it's... what was it?
That's like saying a new character, okay, you're blonde. Do something.
Yeah. Okay, you have blonde hair, but you've got brown eyes. You've got brown hair and yellow eyes. Like, what? What the hell does this have to do with anything? We'll run and do it.
Yellow eye.
Yeah, like they introduced a new Firestorm of years ago, Jason Roush. Or Jason Rush. And it was your classic, we're taking the white guy and making him black character. We're putting him in Detroit. His father, you know, he doesn't know his mom, or his mom died, so the father's raising him on his own. It was like, oh. Why can't the black kid just be raised, like, in a suburban home or something? Like, why does it have to be, like, a Boys in the Hood type scenario every time a black character is introduced?
Because look who's been writing the comic books. Like, like, and that started with, you know, Falcon and Luke. Like, I don't even want to go down that route because they can just take down.
Well, no,
that.
I understand. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, so I'll just leave it be. Look at the source.
Well, yeah, because they even did that with the new Wally West. They made him a black kid that's an angry black youth. And it's like, well, that's not what, and maybe there's a little different argument here, but it's, you're creating a new kid Flash. Cool. You're making him a black kid. Cool. Well, everything about the character is different except the name. Well, then give him a different name. Like, don't call him Wally West.
Yeah, like how they did with Spider-Man. They didn't take Miles Morales and call him Peter Parker.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the big issue there. But I know we got off on an aside on that. But it goes to show you, though, if you create a strong character, it doesn't matter. And when they introduced him into the Green Arrow comic, that was pretty cool. And they didn't – they kind of changed him, though. It's like, well, DC Comics doesn't really have an idea what they're doing anyways. And I think it's because of probably corporate interference or just stale ideas, but that's a different topic, which we always tease.
Yeah.
All right, so Green Arrow, I agree with you. There's a lot of people. And I wonder if Ra's al Ghul doesn't show up till the end of the season.
Probably. I think they probably get teased and then show up. And then it's kind of, you know, Deathstroke's... He's not dead, like, you know, probably won't be able, like, I don't think he'll be, you know, a big part of the series, but he's still there, and it's always possible he can come back, so that's kind of there, too. It's not like he died or anything.
Yeah.
Or actor died.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the season, and I kind of like the flashback part, like, they finally off the island, but, you know, still stuff going on, like, okay, now he's running around Hong Kong, because it's kind of like, how did they know each, you know, that's one of my questions, like, how did him and Amanda Waller know each other on that show?
Mm-hmm.
And now that makes sense, okay, so that's how they know each other.
Yeah, and it, I do like the preview did show Deathstroke in it, though. So he comes back for some reason. And I know that they were talking about the Suicide Squad coming back for that Flash crossover. So we'll see. And the reason I brought that up was just so we could segue into the Flash that debuts the night before. And they just keep adding people. They keep letting you know what's going on with it. The previews have looked really cool. This is going to be the stereotypical part. What do you think of the suit?
I'm not a stickler for that like some people are, because I kind of, superhero costumes look goofy when you try to incorporate real life anyway. So you can either go, and then it's a TV budget, so you can either go the X-Men way, it's like, no, we're going to just have it all black, try to have it look practical. You can do the Dark Knight way and have it like military application wise, or you can just try to go the comic book way and get it close and have it muted, because... And that seemed to be DC thing. It's kind of, they don't, you know, kind of would take colors and mute it. I mean, I'm more forgiving when it comes to that anyway. Because, like, you know, I know the character, if it doesn't look goofy, if it doesn't look like Daredevil's in the movie, I'm straight. As long as it doesn't look horrible, then I'm fine. If it looks decent, that's good enough.
All right, so I guess you're guessing. I'm guessing you're fine with this then. I'm not saying it looks bad, but with you saying that they always mute the colors of the heroes, you're exactly right in this case. Because Batman was always kind of a darker color, anyways. At least it wasn't black.
Yeah, but even like Man of Steel, like they talked about, you know.
Yeah.
He said, no, I know it's expecting a bright blue and everything like that, but no, we're not doing that. It's kind of like. I guess it's the film, if you have something that's real bright looking on TV, it kind of looks ridiculous. But I'm like, it's a comic. Okay, the Flash is, okay, so you worry about it not looking ridiculous, but it's a man running real fast. If I wrap my head around that, then I don't mind if it's bright orange compared to burnt orange. Come on.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm in. You don't have to make it, you know, gritty. Everything doesn't have to be gritty and realistic. It's the damn Flash.
Well, and that's where I was going to go is with this. The Flash show doesn't – everything looks bright. Everything takes place in the daytime for the most part, it appears, which is going to be a welcome change from Arrow, because a lot of Arrow stuff is in, you know, at night. It's in dark corridors, dark alleys, dark buildings. And that's why I kind of thought that the color of the suit could afford to be a little bit brighter than this – It's not. It's supposed to be red, and this is more of a crimson. I don't know. I don't know the color exactly, but it's not a true red.
Off red.
not even that. It's like a blood. It's not even blood red. It's just. It's a really dark color, and I don't know why they choose to do this. I mean, especially for TV. Like the Flash is different. The Flash is exactly what it sounds like. And besides being fast, it's a flashy character. The guy's got lightning bolts on his head, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
If you want to be practical about this sort of stuff, he wouldn't have lightning bolts on his head.
Like, I don't know, too. Like, I'm not into it like you are, but everything I've heard from the Flash, like, he's a bit of, like, a show-off. You know, kind of like flat, like, you know, not arrogant, not like an asshole, but kind of like, you know...
Yeah. Well, no, see, that's the Wally West version. And that's why it's a big point of contention for people who read comics, because I'm 40. I grew up with Barry Allen, but then for 20 years, Wally West, who's a completely different character, was the Flash. Then they bring Barry Allen back, and he's analytical. He's kind of a stick in the mud. He's kind of boring. The flashy show-off one was Wally West.
Yeah, that's the one I remember from the the cartoon.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So to replace with Barry Allen, but give him like Wally West traits, just it's kind of rubs you the wrong way. But if you also don't know this stuff, you're not going to know any better.
I'm guessing like someone like you that watch the show that's going to bother someone like me, you know, that they might, because it's probably like a lot of people that's going to watch the show like, oh, that seems cool. And I like, I'm a comic person, but I like Arrow and it's from the same people Arrow, so I'll check it out.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what my dad did. My dad started watching Arrow. I didn't even know. And he's like, that Flash looks pretty good. And I'm like, yeah, it actually really does. But I don't mind, you know, it's maybe it's, you know, you have to loosen the reins. And that's what I've been doing. Because, you know, Arrow's not exactly faithful to, you know, the comics. The Flash isn't going to be... like, Gotham doesn't appear to be that faithful to the comics. Maybe just enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. That's why I wasn't upset with the changes in Superman. Except that they went a little too far. I don't mind the changes in Batman, because...
I mean, whatever. We talked about it on how many countless shows. Like, if you just make it, you know, note for note, then you got Watchmen. And it's kind of like, if I read the comic and I'm just seeing, why am I watching the movie? It's the exact thing in the comic. Like, you can tell the story a little bit. As long as the story makes sense, you can change some stuff around. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, it's unless you, and that's why I like the TV shows. I don't think Flash works as a movie. Maybe it could. Arrow definitely wouldn't work as a movie. Batman, I obviously can. Superman can. But I don't think DC's characters lend themselves to long over or short arcs for movies. Wonder Woman, I guess, could. Green Lantern, yeah.
But the problem comes in with some of the characters. Kind of like they're either super overpowered, or like the case of Wonder Woman is kind of what the biggest problem is with casting that. Because it's kind of like whoever you get, somebody's going to complain because they're going to say she doesn't like the comic. I'm like, not, and we've always had this conversation. You're not going to find some Academy Award winning actress that's like 6'1". 210 pounds, mm-hmm. You know, like 5% body fat. Yeah, that looks like a supermodel that can act and that's athletic. Like, you know, you can find somebody to play Batman. You can get anybody, throw them in the gym, lift weights, and be Batman or Superman. That doesn't take that much talent. But we got like certain, you know, other characters. You know, you can find somebody that have a sense of humor, and you know, he can be Green Lantern. That's not Ryan Reynolds.
Hey, but I was say they tried that. That didn't work.
That's not Ryan Reynolds. But, yeah, like, certain characters, and I think DC lends itself more to that than Marvel, it's kind of hard to cast it, and I think that's the best and the biggest problem with Wonder Woman. Like, I'm looking forward to The Flash. I know less about The Flash than I know about Green Arrow. Like, I know The Flash. I don't know any of his villains, so I'm definitely going to be asking, like, who's this guy? What's that guy?
He has the best villains in all of comics, hands down. He has better villains than Batman does. Superman, you can barely even tell half the time what they are. Green Arrow never really had a rogues gallery. He had Merlin, and just some others. But no, and like, so I thought that the show did a pretty good job taking Deadpool. Sorry, wrong company. Taking Deathstroke and adding him to the pantheon of his villains. That was a good move. You know, even like Count Vertigo was one, but not in the way that they portray him in the comics. So another good choice. And that's where like you don't get married to the source material as much. And I think it also helps though with all of this stuff that if you don't know, as long as it's good.
Yeah, because that's what actually broke me in, because I didn't know too much about Arrow, but it was good. It kept me in. I knew about S.H.I.E.L.D. and mm-hmm. that kind of messed with you, because it's almost like, you know, Arrow was basically, we got a brand new universe, there's certain ground rules we can follow, but other than that, we can kind of do what we want, it's the CWs, whatever. S.H.I.E.L.D. was the whole thing about, we have this 10-year storyline and everything has to fit, so you have to do stuff on this timetable. And mm-hmm. when you got, and it's almost like if you got handcuffs on you to begin with, then it's going to create problems.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. for a little bit. I know we didn't really get too much into Flash, but since you brought it up, we all know the Avengers comes out next year. Are we going to have to sit through, and they've already, they're already breaking the season up, S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. picks up again. Are we going to have to sit through another really bad first half of the season before it gets
good? Well, they said they said that's not going to be the issue this season. Like, they knew going in last year that was going to be a problem, and they couldn't do anything about it. It's kind of like the nature of the beast, and they come out and said, it's not going to be a problem this year, so don't worry about that. Like, we're not tied into some big event. But at the same time, you can't use that as a, like, reboot either, because saying, you know, we got all this new stuff happening. We can use this like a creative boost and go in all different, you know, like get a joke. Now it's kind of like, you know, you got to do it on your own, so to speak. It's nothing going to shake up fact to kind of, you know, start over. So it's a double-edged sword, basically.
Yeah, I'm trying to see when the second part of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starts.
I would guess spring, because Agent Carter is 10 episodes. It's supposed to start around the wintertime. So,
all right. Well, Avengers 2 comes out May 1st. Mm-hmm. Now, and these are big spoilers, so just go away if you don't want to know. But apparently Nick Fury and Myra Hill are in Avengers 2, supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, Nick Fury is supposed to be dead to everybody. So how is that going to tie back into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because Coulson is now the new director.
I mean, he knows, but at least they know that he's around. Like, he knows he's around, but he's like kind of the only person that knows on that show. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of – it's going to be weird. I think the biggest issue people had with the first episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. was like, you know, it's almost they had a human cheat code. How could they lose? Like, they have all this technology. They got the government on their side. They can do what they want. It's kind of like, why would they ever lose? It's not like they went against villains that were more powerful than them. So when the whole Hydra thing came up and it was kind of like, you know, we got to scrap stuff together and kind of like earn our way, that's when the show became more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going that route. I know Lucy Lawless is going to be on the show. What's the name? I always call him Paul Atreides. Kyle MacLachlan is going to be Sky's father. And it was somebody else there. Quick thing. Arrow. I remember when we first talked about it, we were talking about Sin City 2, and we were saying how they didn't have Devin Aoki be in that movie and like wonder what she was doing. And we were saying how she's going to be on Arrow. Well, she got recast on Arrow.
Oh.
She's not going to be on Arrow anymore. The girl that was in the Wolverine that played Yuriko is not going to be on Arrow.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I found that out. Like, I just saw it on the side. I was like, how about that? And that's funny, because one thing I remember with that movie is, like, she looked like a damn alien. So,
yeah. All right, so they haven't announced who Lucy Lawless is going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
There's some agent. They said some name, like she's an agent that plays by the rules and she made butthead, you know, that whole blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So.
See, I am willfully ignorant of what's going to happen on Arrow, The Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Walking Dead, Gotham. I purposely have not watched or read anything about what's actually going to happen. Like, I know, like, people are getting cast. Cool. All right, that doesn't really spoil anything for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to go into this with a fresh perspective, you know, just to watch it for the first time, actually. Like, Walking Dead, I've been very good. I haven't seen anything. I have no clue what's going on. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's why I started it off, the conversation this way. I want it to be good because the end, the last, what, 7 episodes of that, as soon as Captain America came out.
Mm-hmm.
I had to convince Kevin to stick with it, and I told him, you have to go see Captain America first, because if you do, it's going to ruin Captain America. So he went and saw it, and he was like, yeah, that show got way better. Now, it also got better because, I mean, it had it was finally its own show. It also had Bill Paxton in it.
I was about to say that.
To cover up for anything that wasn't good. Is it? So, can they possibly have someone with that that much gravitas this time?
I forgot. They cast somebody that's supposed to be a guest star. I forgot who it was, and I didn't want to look it up. So, so I'm trying to be the whole. Because it's kind of like I want the same boat as y'all. I don't know too much, and it's kind of like we get spoiled by like knowing everything that's going on. And it's kind of like I want to be surprised. So I'm trying to avoid spoilers and who's getting cast. Like sometimes you can't avoid it, but you know, I was in the same boat. I was watching Shield and I was kind of like, you know, I liked it more than a lot of people, but even I got to the point where like, okay, you need to start stepping it up. This whole Magic Girl Sky nonsense is getting old and everybody else, like they came out of like a, you know, Hot Topic, you know, book. So, but it definitely got better after the whole, you know, Captain America thing, and it definitely has it had the foundation to be good this season. So, and at the end of the day, it's a Marvel show, it's a Disney show. They gonna give it the time. They gonna give it the time and the money for it to succeed if they want to.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that the writers give it a chance because I know, and this is the difference in which we haven't done that. We talked about this conversation. We never gotten to it. The Marvel and DC way of doing their universes. I'm not here to do that now, but Marvel is tightly knit. Even the Netflix series, I guess we can call that Marvel Knights because it's all the grounded people. That's even going to be tied into the same universe as the Avengers and all that, as it should. So I'm just afraid that Shield's going to run that course. Like, all right, you guys, we've got 10 episodes before we put Agent Carter on because nobody asked to see that, but we're going to do it anyways.
Well, people did ask to see that.
But why? I guess my question for that would be why, you know?
Because it's like that character, and it's kind of like, and it's a cool storyline, but what if you talked about this Shield before? That's the thing. Like, Marvel has this universe, a lot of gaps. What if you did a period? It's people like Captain America, and they like that period part of it. And they like Peggy Carter. They like the actress. It was likable. And what's his face? They like Howard Stark, and they like the Commandos. Like, you know, what if you did a short story talking during this time frame? And they did that one shot, and people like that enough to say, you know, we can do something quick, you know, like 9-10 episodes. Why not? And it builds to war, you know. It's a lot of gaps in, like, universe time. People always wonder about what if you told this story here? And the funny thing is 10-15 years ago, you would have never got anything like this. So it's like, come on now. Like, we joke about all the time. Iron Man was not an A-list character. And now we get, you know, Agent Carter series on ABC. Not like, you know, not Disney XD or, you know, A&E Family. Like ABC, prime time. You get a Marvel show on some spinoff character that wasn't, you know, big, like even Captain America wasn't necessarily big time in Marvel like that anyway. So, different world.
Yeah. Well, I think Captain America had the name, though. Yeah. Like, Iron Man was a B-list until now. But yeah, I mean.
Well, like, to be honest, like, people knew Captain America. They knew, but like, Marvel was always Spider-Man and X-Men and then everybody else. Like, people knew about the Hulk. They knew about Captain America, you know, like, he had all the other stuff, but it was always, you know, it's the reason why they sold those two franchises. It was always Spider-Man and X-Men, and then, I guess, Hulk, maybe, and then everybody else.
Yeah.
So just to see the smaller characters getting that time is just fascinating. And it's kind of like, you hope they give them time to flesh out new stuff, but at the same time, they have to, you know, they're making they're a money-making machine. They're kind of like, if it's not broke, don't break it. You don't want to be like DC where they all over the place. And DC might run into that problem because I guess we can talk about Gotham. Like, at least Marvel has the thing. Everybody's on the same page in the same universe. I wonder how that's going to work with DC because they have Arrow and Flash and their universe on CW. But then you have Gotham on Fox.
Right, and I don't really want to talk about this, but you got Constantine on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're divided, and now there's talking about a Teen Titans series on TNT.
It's kind of like,
No,
I guess I saw that too. It's getting the part where, I know a lot of people doom and gloom, like you can only go so far before it explodes, and it's, yeah, they kind of scraping a bucket at this point.
Teen
I mean,
Titans would be a good series, but I'm all right. Let's just talk about Gotham. We can bring that up next week about this stuff, or one of the weeks going forward, because the DC stuff is a wreck, and I don't think necessarily Liam Neeson should have played Ra's al Ghul for Arrow, but I think in the new Superman Batman Dawn of Justice, ugh, that's an awful name, movie. The guy playing the Flash on TV should be playing the Flash in the movie. It doesn't make any sense. You're confusing the marketplace doing that, but that's for next time.
And their whole comment's like, oh, TV is TV and we can't mix and match because that's old, that's lower league. And I'm like,
Agents of
that might have
S.H.I.E.L.D.
worked. Yeah, I'm like, one, that might have worked maybe 10, 15 years ago. But if you got Kevin Spacey on TV and I just saw I just saw True Detective. Those guys on Oscars, they're on TV. Like, that book is out the window. Plenty of movie stars like quote unquote slumming it on TV. And it's comic books. Like, everyone does comic books. So that if the character's good, if they're good enough to do the role, it shouldn't make a difference if it's TV or movie.
That's a very that you're right. That's a very antiquated way of thinking, but that's actually what it was way back. You didn't do both, and now you hear most actors talking now about how TV's where they'd rather be because you can get into more stories. Where movies nowadays, it's you can't. You have to be. We got this plot, this. Well, make sure you put Fritos in this scene. We're gonna put that new U2 song here. But as long as they're drinking a Diet Mountain Dew, everything's getting mixed together at the expense of the story. But this has nothing to do with Gotham. So,
So yeah, Gotham.
but it does kind of because, and I didn't realize this, Jada Pinkett Smith is playing Fish Mooney. She looks old as dirt. In
Was she
those
on?
commercials, I had no idea that was her. No clue.
Well, she had a very sharp face and she's skinny. And you can add, like I said, when you're thin and you can kind of look harsh and add a little makeup, because she's not young. I mean, she's probably what, 30s or 40s? Like she takes care of herself, but she has a thin build. So you add that with a short haircut, and she already has a sharp face anyway.
She's 43.
So add a little makeup or anything like that. Yeah, you can make her look. You can ugly her up, like I call it Lena Headey syndrome. You can take a pretty girl and ugly them up if they got the right face for it. So.
It just surprised me. That's all. I wasn't. I also didn't realize that Ben McKenzie, the guy who plays Detective Gordon,
Was in the OC.
no clue until yesterday when
I did.
Kevin mentioned that.
Because he looks completely different. I'm like, I remember the OC, and now I'm looking at a guy like, that guy looks like a grown ass man. The guy in the OC did not look like a grown ass man.
Did you ever
So,
watch Southland?
yeah, and he didn't look like that either.
I didn't know that was him either.
I knew that was because,
I didn't
see,
watch it that much, but I saw what episodes I did see. I was like, that guy looks familiar.
but he looked like the guy from the OC. He had like a boy's face. So when you see the previews for Gotham, like, this grown ass man, like, because he basically looks like an adult that's been around. So,
And you know what? Good for him for getting away from that CW or WB, whatever it was. No, it was Fox, wasn't it? Hey, well, I guess he's still with Fox. He apparently likes somebody there. But yeah, Gotham's one where things get kind of messed up. And Kevin was asking about what were you guys talking about with the differences? And I was like, well, Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne are supposed to be about the same age, but they've already got her a couple years older and she's already committing crimes. Like, it's just odd.
You go ahead.
I was going to say, the Penguin was supposed to be born out of aristocracy, and it looks like here he's just like a like he's working for Fish Mooney. So that doesn't really tie in, but that's kind of nitpicking, really.
There's precedence to that because I know in the video games they kind of had him he's almost kind of like a thuggish Brit, not like aristocrat, more like a goon, like someone out of like a Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah.
So.
Which I think that the video game, you're talking about the Arkham Asylum and all
Yeah.
that. I think that's probably my favorite iteration of the Penguin, though.
Yeah.
The Arkham games are really good anyways, but
A bottle cap, like an eyepiece.
yeah. Well, if you play, did you play Arkham Origins?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
That's the one I didn't play.
He actually doesn't have that in Arkham Origins, and it finally happens in the game where he gets the bottle jammed in his eye. So it was pretty fun. And the new one, Arkham Knights. Holy shit, does that look good?
Yes, it does.
I've taken up to taking the end of the year off lately, and that's all I do for the entire week is play those. So I know it's not exactly the sexiest thing, but whatever.
Or keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
My concern about the show is kind of it's two parts. It's kind of like mixing and matching a time frame. Like it's a Batman show that's supposedly not about just Batman, but it's about how Batman became Batman before he was Batman and all this other stuff. And that part's fine as long as you tell a story. It's just kind of like. I'm just at the point, I'm Batman out. It's just a lot of Batman going on. Like, we just had the Dark Knight trilogy that wasn't too long ago, and now you're bringing back Batman with, Dawn of Justice, and now you got Kid Batman. It's kind of like, I know somewhere down the line, Batman became, DC Jesus, where he's just the greatest thing of all time.
That's Frank Miller's fault.
Yeah, and I get that. I always find it ridiculous to say, oh, when people with a straight face, I'm like, oh, yeah, Batman can beat Superman and Wonder Woman, all of them with no. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Whatever. I'm not going to argue about comic book fights, but I always laugh when they just put Batman on that level. Because I grew up in Marvel, as tough as the Punisher is, he not beating Wolverine. Period. And it's understood. So that's fine. That makes sense. Like, powers make sense. And for whatever reason, like, Batman is just. He can. The force of will, he can beat everybody. He's cool because, he's an orphan. He has issues, but he bangs. He's a playboy that doesn't really bang girls, and he's rich. But he does push-ups. And all. I get the story. Like, I get the story why it's fascinating more than, like, Superman and Wonder Woman and all that. But it kind of gets to the point where you start comparing all the stories. It's kind of like, you just had Batman, and now you got two different Batman stories going on at the same time, and it's are they part of the same universe? Is it this is the past? Is this the present? That's what it comes in. Are these two separate universes that's going on? And will it match up? In addition to all the other shows that's coming on with Arrow and the Flash and everything, and that's where Marvel has an advantage. It's kind of like even though people get on and say, "Oh, it's corporate, it's an umbrella," I'm like, it makes sense where you got a plan. Long-term booking makes it like everyone has their place and everyone fits. So when you see someone on another show, it makes sense. And you don't have to worry about this continuity issue like you do on the DC shows. It's kind of like you can watch the show, but if you watch one show and then you turn to watch the other show, it's kind of like, are they in the same universe of
Yeah.
one going on? So.
Well, at least Gotham has the ability to say we're in the past. And I was all these shows like they're making now. They're going to make a movie about Skull Island, where King Kong came from. And it was a Patton Oswalt bit, and he was talking about Jordan meeting, going back in time to meet George Lucas, and he ends the bit with, "I don't care about the things I love." I care about the things I love. I don't care about where the things I love came from. And that's kind of what Gotham is. I'm gonna watch it because it supposedly, well, they're not giving him credit, but there was a comic called GCPD. It was only about the cops of Gotham. And that's what I thought the show was gonna be. But then they started adding supervillains into it, like the origins, the beginning of supervillains, and then there's the Batman, the pink elephant in the room, and
You know the problem.
It doesn't seem necessary, especially knowing that there's a new Batman movie or a Superman Batman movie coming up that's going to invalidate everything that Fox is doing on this show. And
you know what the problem is? It's the problem that Marvel avoided by having Netflix. They could have took that GCPD route, but you got to be real brave to say we're going to put a primetime comic book show on with no comic book characters.
Yeah, well, you're
going to ask the average Joe Blow. It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to watch a show about Gotham Police and Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
I mean, I know comics is out there, but that's asking for, you know.
Well, see, I think it would be – it's not as ballsy or as risky as you think, though, because you always have that safety net to where if you get 6-7 episodes in – well, they cancel stuff after 2 nowadays, but after 6 or 7 episodes, you can be like, all right, throw them a hope spot here. And all of a sudden, the Cobblepots walk by with Little Penguin in a basket or something. And you're like, wait a minute. And then all of a sudden, the guy that faintly looks like the Joker may be there.
We don't look at it as being ballsy. And you could take that route, but you would do a show like that if it was like, you know, X-Files time frame. If it was like that, if it was like that type of show, like it was a Sunday show or like, you know, Fringe Friday night, 8 o'clock. You could do something like that. If it's like a flagship show, no, they going to be like, okay, we going to take this leap. I need to see some comic stuff. And that's just, you know how corporate TV can be anyway. Like, they can only go so far. And it's not – that's the advantage that Marvel has. It's they're owned by the same people, so they're under the same umbrella. They can take risks like that because everybody's on the same page. You know, Fox is kind of like, okay, we see this. And we've complained enough about the X-Men movies. Mm-hmm. About all the changes they've made, and there's a reason for that. Kind of like, you know, they just look at dollar sign. They don't look like, oh, you got to be respectful of the stories. Like, nah, that's whatever. I need to make money. And they see this whole, okay, I got Gotham. You hear Gotham, what you think of? Batman. Where's Batman? Well, we talking about Batman Order. Okay, well, I need to see something. Seeing Donald Lowe's walk around the fedora, that's all cool and stuff like that. But this isn't FX, this is Fox. You gotta give me something. I can see being like that just happening with the quickness. So,
yeah. It was funny because you mentioned the Netflix thing and how Marvel's owned by one company. Well, Time Warner owns DC Comics. That's what, you know, Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
CW's owned by Time Warner. Mm-hmm. I don't understand, and this is I'm ignorant to how television deals work. Why isn't Gotham on CW? Why isn't Constantine on CW? You don't need a Hulu. You don't need a Netflix when you've got your entire network at your disposal.
Because they don't want to make it into a comic. It's the same reason why they split up Flash and Arrow, why they don't come on the same night. And it's kind of like a two-part thing. You know, you want to get viewers on both those days. And at the same time, you don't want to turn CW into the comic network. It's kind of like we can have comic shows. But if that's all we have, it's kind of like that's because Fox ran into that problem in the 90s. It became, you know, it's the black show because it's like the black network because they had a Living Color and then they have Martin Living Single, New York Undercover, Rock. Like, majority of the shows are all like, you know, black drama, black sitcoms, and like Married with Children, The Simpsons. And they got rated, they were watched, but it got to the point where you get this stigma, oh, that's all they show. They show Al Bundy and black stuff. And it's kind of every network now is kind of trying, unless it's something where, you know, it's going to pull it in. Diversity is the word again. Like, even Spike TV saying, you know, we don't want to be just the dude network anymore. We need to spread stuff out. So it would have made sense to put everything in like one umbrella because it's, especially as fractured TV is, it's kind of like, okay, I got to watch NBC to watch this show. I got to watch Fox to watch this one. I got to watch CW to watch this and this. And it's kind of like, you can do it. And they got, you know, TiVo and DVR and stuff, but it's a lot of stuff going on you compete with anyway. It makes it easier to be on the one umbrella, but I get why they don't do that.
Yeah, I also wonder if, you know, pilot season as well, someone goes, all right, we're going to buy this, and CW or D- DC, Warner, whatever goes, wait, how much are you going to pay for a pilot? Oh, okay, yeah, we'll take that. All of a sudden, it's risk free, and you let this other company take over the possibilities of a loss too. So
you know, CW Network, but it's not Fox. It was funny when we talk about that because everyone's owned by the same people, but they don't all have the same budget. Because I'm like, you know, VH1 and BET are owned by the same people too.
Yeah,
and MTV, but they have completely different budgets. So it's kind of like, why don't they put this show, why isn't Gotham on CW? It's kind of like, it seemed like the show is too big. It's almost, I want to say, it seemed like it's too expensive for CW. Even though Arrow's on there, it's kind of like, that doesn't seem like a CW show.
Yeah. Well, Arrow, you can see where the budget gets cut, though. Mm-hmm. Some of those fight scenes are lacking. So, but, you know, I'd rather have it lacking than not at all. Mm-hmm. But. All right. Well, we probably could go a little bit longer, but we've gone long enough. We pick this up next time. Yeah, we've been talking plenty long. So, yeah, so hopefully someone got something out of this. And Gotham actually starts Monday. So Monday Night Raw, coming off of Night of Champions, better be damn good, even though I have a DVR. So it doesn't really matter, I guess. But
I'm kind of worried about that, too, because I'm hoping they don't do what I think they're going to do. But if they do, they give me more reason to not watch Rock in this
film. Oh, you mean haven't seen a beat Lesnar?
Yeah, that's just so.
I'm a little worried about that, too. Kevin and I talked about that last night on the Stunt Granny Audio 270.
That's download now. So, yeah, and I'm going to do that. It just seems so. And I've heard that rumbling. It just seems so ass backwards. Like, it's no. And I was talking to somebody about it. I've seen it. I'm like, and it's not even Cena hate. It's almost, that doesn't do anybody any favors.
It doesn't do anybody any good.
It doesn't do Cena any good. It doesn't do Lesnar any good. Especially if they start talking the whole thing, you know, when Cena wins the title again, he tied Ric Flair. That should be a big, when that happens, that should be hyped.
Yeah.
That should be a big deal. And just having, you know, you built, and I know this is a long-term wrestling podcast, but like if you build something to be, they built Brock Lesnar to be this monster, and they sacrificed The Undertaker for that, and they sacrificed John Cena for that. Mm-hmm. To just forget about that after a month? It's kind of. And then just to have them, you know, have a rubber match, and
Well, not even hyping it as a rubber match either.
Yeah.
So,
like, saying, no, there's a whole thing, like, the argument, okay, have Cena get his win back so Brock can beat him at the next pay-per-view is the argument I've heard. I'm like, no, that's. And that's the one. Like, I get the story they're telling on TV, and I was having a conversation with somebody before we go. The story, I understand how it's been implemented has just been rolling my eyes. This whole, it's just so ass backwards. And then even when they take a step forward one way, they take two steps back. Don't give me this story about how John Cena is just this hero to soldiers and little kids and. I met a dad backstage saying, you know, I still don't like you, but thank you for setting an example to my son and all this crap. And then the next week have him bully Paul, you know, like bully Paul Heyman. I'm like, that's like, what dad he run into? Adrian Peterson? Like, so yeah, like what story are you telling? So,
well, yeah. That's what it's like listening to John Cena. Like my dad's beating me in the nutsack with a stick. So. Yeah, I'm very nervous about that, and unfortunately, I'll be traveling, so I'm hoping to get to Greenville in time to at least catch the main event, so I know I don't need to watch Raw the next night, because if Cena wins, and Kevin and I brought this up, there's not a lot going for WWE Entertainment right now. There's just not, and having the same old is not the route they should be taking. So I guess, hey, $9.99, tune into WWE Network, everybody. On that note, I'm out of here. We'll be back next week. I don't know what day because I'm busy for a while. So
I'll be back on day shift. So
yeah, so we'll see. So yeah, so everyone have a good time. Shahid, taking us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. If John Cena wins, we will riot and we are out.